Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Welcome to The Jump, fueled by Marathon.
Today's opening tip, yep, that's Rob Gronkowski dancing with the Laker girls, Venus Williams, Ian Carmel. Yeah, there's Venus.
Oh, stanky leg.
Yeah. James Corden.
Oh, my God.
Venus walked in right underneath where I was sitting, and I was like, what is she doing here? Why is she in this thing?
Well, Zach, can you tell the people what your reaction was to Venus being part of this escapade last night?
She's a little too dignified for this. She's a legend, a straight-up legend, but it's apparently part of a movie or a TV show or something, right. So it's fine, whatever.
I don't have those type of moves, so I can't say anything.
Tomorrow's two episode of The Jump, T-Mac will be in a... No, that's never going to happen. Welcome. I'm Rachel Nichols. Today, joined by our senior writer, host of the Low Post podcast, a podcast I'm very jealous of this week, but we'll get into that later. Right. We got to interview so many cool people, and that's our Hall of Famer, two-time scoring champion, Mr. Tracy McGrady.
It could have been four, but Jeff Van Gundy helped me back a little bit, but it's all good.
Coaches, right?
That old story, seriously. Coming up, we're going to talk about Carmelo Anthony. He returned to the court for the first time in over a year last night. What was your first impression of Melo in a Portland uni? We will discuss. First, though, stop me if you've heard this one before. Star player has a free agent summer coming up. The season becomes a nine-month speculation fest on whether he's going to stay with his team. The fan base is hopeful, then worried, then devastated when July comes. He goes elsewhere and the franchise is left facing years of rebuilding. It's almost like a reverse fairy tale with no happy ending, except sometimes it goes the other way. The Boston Celtics watched Kyrie Irving walk out the door 4 months ago, and instead of crumbling, they are strolling into tonight's game against the Clippers, sitting atop the Eastern Conference standings. They are the only team in the league ranked top six in both offense and defense. And you can say they've done all that on a soft schedule, and you'd be right. They've had the third easiest schedule in the league so far. But by definition, every team has parts of their season that are softer than others. And even then, most teams don't reel off 11 wins in 12 games. Part of the success is due to the front office's ability to pivot. Instead of waiting around for Kyrie to make a decision this spring, the Celtics went hard after Kemba Walker, whose fit so far has been seamless. And then also part of this is due to the tremendous stock of talent still on this team. Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. Remember, the teams that are devastated when a star player leaves are often the victim of a chicken and egg sort of thing, right? The star is leaving because the team just isn't good enough otherwise to compete at a high level. But this storybook doesn't go that way because, of course, that's not why Kyrie left. So the Celtics aren't a mess without him. The Celtics are still good at almost everything offensively. And they turn the ball over the least of anyone in the entire league, which is important because, you know, if you keep hold of the basketball, you have more chances to score with it. And by the way, none of this is to say that it's going to be smooth sailing for Boston from here. The schedule is about to get much tougher starting tonight. Hayward is still out for 5 more weeks with a broken hand, and eventually that's going to take its toll. Tatum has been inconsistent, even though he did have a strong outing against the Suns on Monday. He's having trouble with, of all things, his game from inside the arc. Tatum is shooting just 42% on his twos, which is actually worst in the league among regular players. Most of all, there's still a ton of questions for this team at center. Of course, it wasn't just Kyrie who left, but Al Horford too, and the Celtics also had to deal Aaron Baines to make salary cap space for Kemba. As it stands now, Boston's best lineup has no one taller than 6'8" taking the floor. For this team to compete in the playoffs against the likes of Milwaukee and Philadelphia, Boston is going to have to find someone who can help them against guys like Giannis and Joel Embiid. But all of these problems are easier problems to address than what Boston dealt with last year. What sticks out most about the Celtics right now is that they are simply playing basketball. The hand-wringing of who gets to do what and how does everyone feel about it is gone. This doesn't have to be a fairy tale of happily ever after. The Celtics are just having fun, and they're fun to watch. And that is a pretty good story, too. So, Tracy, do you think that this problem with the bigs is big enough? Do you think that they need another big to contend in the East?
Absolutely. Well, to contend in the East, no. I think they're fine in the East if they want to contend for a championship. And that's what I think these guys want to do. It's not just about contending in the East. They're going to be fine in the Eastern Conference.
You know, there's tall people in the Eastern Conference.
That's they okay. all play for Philly. All the tall people.
I think they'll be fine. This league is really perimeter driven league, and they have two of the youngest guys that are pretty damn good on the perimeter, being able to play offense and defense. It's two way guys. I think the reason they're 11-2 or whatever their record is at the top of the Eastern Conference right now is just because opportunity.
Right.
Jaylen Brown really was trying to find his way on how to play with all these guys they had last year. Kyrie, Al Horford. You know, they had a stacked team. And he was the guy that was kind of the odd man out that, you know, he had to pick up some crumbs. Now he has a lot on his plate that he has to do for this team. And I think he's, you know, really handling it well. There's just more opportunity. Jason Tatum, he came in the league to be an offensive guy that can put the ball in the basket at any given time. Now, defensively, I think the two of these guys are just taking the challenge with Kyrie gone. Kemba is playing well. I mean, I suspect they keep this up even though Hayward is out. But to contend for a championship with no big man, I don't think they have the pieces.
Well, they don't have no big men. Tice is playing well. Robert Williams, Grant Williams. These guys are giving, now, these are not household names, right, but they're giving them good minutes. But my point is this. I don't know who is the big man. Like when people say, oh, go get a big man, who is it? Who is the big man that's available and worth trading one of their core wing players? Because that's what it takes. This team is good enough right now that I'm not sure. Let's go through the names that are brought up. Kevin Love, Steven Adams, Clint Capella. Like I'm not sure those guys, compared to the production they're getting from who they have, are moving them up a level when you have to sacrifice one of the core wing players to get those. To me, the real question is, are the Celtics the kind of team that can bump up a level in the playoffs, or are they one of those teams that plays to their ceiling in the regular season and doesn't have another level, which is a fancy way of saying Philly, Milwaukee, their top opposition, they don't have the best player in either of those series. And sometimes the playoffs just comes down to who has the best player in a playoff series.
Well, Danny Ainge has draft picks to deal, right? There's three picks in the next draft, three first-rounders he has, is that correct? So,
but you got to match salary, right? If you want one of these big guys that makes $25 million, you got to match salary, and that's very difficult for Boston.
Yes, and you have to convince that team that the player is worth what you think they're worth, not what they think they're worth, which in Cleveland, to use one of your examples, is probably going to be an issue.
It's going to be hard.
Let's move on to Carmelo Anthony, who played his first NBA game in 376 days. He scored 10 points, a 4-14 from the field in his Blazers debut. Portland lost the game. They, of course, didn't have Damian Lillard, though, T-Mac. What did you make of seeing Melo back out on the court?
I'm happy for Melo. Glad to see him back on the court. Didn't really have any expectations for him last night other than I just wanted to see how he was going to be moving after being out of the game for a year now. Just wanted to see his movement, see how his body reacts, you know, how he's feeling today and how he bounced back on the second game. I think the tell of the story is once the adrenaline runs off, right, because he's on sheer adrenaline right now, once that wears off, then, you know, we'll be able to see what Melo we're going to see for the rest of this season. But I didn't have any expectations. But it was good to see him back and moving well.
Yeah, I'm going to reserve expectations for when the real team plays, which is, you know, with Lillard and how he plays after 5, 6, 7 games. You could speak to this much more than I could, obviously. Like, a game is way different than practice and training and the stuff that he's been doing, right? I mean, this is going to be a slog to get back into game shape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to take him about 10 games, 10 to 15 games to where he's in great basketball shape. You could do all the training you want in the offseason, and I'm sure he's been training while he's been out of the game.
We've seen the videos. We know that he's working out.
It doesn't amount to, you know, going out there banging for 20, 25 minutes with these guys.
Where do you feel it the most? So when you come back and guys are like, well, I'm in shape, but I'm not in game shape. Like, is it the banging and bumps and bruises? Is it catching your breath at certain times? Like, what is it?
It's the soreness of your body, right? Because you're not banging against guys in your normal workouts.
Right.
It's just putting up shots and you know, cardiovascular shape. But to go up and down and, you know, guys are hitting you, you're going to feel those bumps and bruises the next day.
Especially if you're maybe a little older as a basketball player and, say, your mid-30s.
Body doesn't recover like it normally does.
There you go. Coming up, we're going to talk about the Lakers. They have the best record in the league right now, but are they as good as that record indicates? That is interesting once you look at the schedule breakdown.
It's a make or miss league.
Make, miss. It's a make or miss league.
Thank you, sir. Make ambition. Second quarter in New Orleans. Carmelo Anthony trying to pack it in over the youngster, 19-year-old Jackson Hayes. I'm going to say A for effort because he has not played competitive basketball in a year and he's trying to dunk on these kids.
Yeah.
See, this is how he used to look dunking.
Get your legs up under you first, Mello.
Right?
Floater. Floater off the glass.
Right?
Yeah, my boy came back first night and tried to bang on somebody.
Right. But again, you know, when you hit your mid-30s,
You use the floater. When you hit your mid-30s, use the floater.
He's going to make adjustments.
He will. He'll be good. Missed layup, staying in the Big Easy. The Pelicans' athleticism was on full display last night. I mean, this is without Zion. Zach, that's pretty fun, right?
Brandon Ingram's arms are ridiculous.
Armstrong, man.
Ridiculous,
oh,
right?
My God.
Yes, with Zion, they're going to be fun. Give me Zion. I want Zion.
You know that they want to be careful.
I know.
But yes.
I love the tempo that this team plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an Alvin Gentry team, right?
Yeah.
There you go. Make heat checks. Zach Lowe making me very nervous. Bogdan Bogdanovic.
Bravo.
How did I do?
Bravo.
You cannot get into a Slavic name with Zach Lowe on set. Career high, 31 points, win over the Suns.
You got a game.
He was cooking.
Yeah.
He was cooking. They're defending. They're a top 10 defense since Fox went down in this little. They've won 6 of 7. Weirdest season in the league, the Kings.
They've slowed down their pace a lot, right? Which is not how Luke Walton usually likes to play.
What are you saying about Fox then, huh?
No, it's just weird that they started off so bad and they're gonna need De'Aaron Fox, obviously. And shout out to Rishon Holmes also playing awesome at center for them.
And Bogdan.
That's a big win for them because Phoenix is playing well, man.
Bogdan is gonna make a lot of money.
Miss bedtime, Thunder Lakers, another game. Another nap by this sleepy Lakers fan. This is the same guy.
Is this a bit?
Listen.
Last week.
Is he trying to get on TV?
Maybe.
No. This is where he gets his best sleep. Wife kicked him out of the house.
Look at him. He's catching flies. Look at him.
He can't sleep at the house because the wife and kids.
We don't. That's not. You are just making that up. I have to make it clear. You cannot libel someone on TV.
I see a guy at the Lakers game with LeBron and AD front and center.
These are expensive seats. How rich do you have to be that you were in the second row at a Laker game?
And no one.
And had paid for that. And for 2 weeks in a row, you are sleeping during the game. I thought that we just caught a second person sleeping at the Laker game.
We're talking
and
about
producer
some
Steve
very
is like,
expensive seats, too.
Right? That's a lot. Make craftiness. Darnell Rogers of the UMBC Retrievers. 5'2", 150 pounds.
Oh,
but this man gets buckets. Look at him.
5'2".
Look at him.
A floater off the backboard.
He is averaging 14 a night, friends.
He's a lefty, too. That's cool.
Wow.
And he's shorter than me, which is saying something.
Hey, LSU buckets?
He's
look
not my he's my second
look
favorite college player now after the was it Monmouth? The guy who
yeah,
talked
yeah,
about
yeah.
That
the,
guy's still
the,
my favorite.
The Monmouth guy was like, right. I don't care if we're losing by 100, I'm dunking the basketball because I'm frustrated and I will take the technical. 5'2", look at him.
Size doesn't matter.
Well.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Maybe a little.
Size doesn't matter, ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching this. You just look at it.
Let's move on. The Lakers beat the Thunder last night. We're going to do the rest of the show. Tracy needs a minute.
This guy.
One of the best clips that came out of the game. Young Max, right? Max.
Maddie.
He also may be 5'2". I don't know. But look at him. Seriously, he was supposed to get 10 points in 30 seconds.
Look at Max.
He got 30 in 30 seconds. He may have been the best shooter on the floor last night. I believe he was 10. The Lakers are now 12-2. So do you think they are as good as this record indicates?
First of all, the Sixers might need to hire that kid as a shooting coach.
I'm not
Second
kidding.
Of all,
shooting coach ain't just a shooter. Just put him on the floor.
Either one.
We just saw you can be short and still make it team exercise.
The crowd went crazy for that kid last night. I was not even paying attention. I heard this roar and all of a sudden. Are the Lakers as good as their record? Look, they're on a 70-win pace.
Yes.
They are not going to win 70 games. They are not going to get...
Zach, you're a Laker
load
hater.
Load
management and JaVale and Dwight are not going to play all season this well. They're getting 30...
Why? What is it?
They're playing over their heads.
They're not. They're splitting time.
I get it. I'm okay. We'll see. I just think they're going to... I'm not saying they're going to fall off a cliff. I'm just saying they're both playing at elite levels right now, and I don't think that's going to last. But... everyone should have seen this coming. The Lakers have two of the top five players in the league that complement each other and a decent supporting cast around them. And this is what happens. You win a lot of games.
We can't like me last week. You can't say that everyone saw this coming.
No, I said they should have. People should have seen this coming.
You think that 12-2 is indicative of the rest of the season?
You just said it. You got arguably mm-hmm. the best player on the planet in LeBron James, mm-hmm. right? You have AD, who's a top five player in this league and probably the best big man in this league. They complement each other well. They do all the heavy work, the heavy lifting. All these other guys have to do is just do your job. What is their job? Well, you run the floor. You spot up. You wait for your pass. You knock down shots. And you play defense.
Play some defense.
That is all you have to do playing with these two guys.
Right.
And what is JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard doing?
Playing defense.
Providing energy, right? Offensive rebounds, defending, and rebounding. That's it. That's all you have to do. You don't have, Dwight, you don't have the pressure of having to carry a franchise right. anymore, having to score 20-plus points. You don't have that pressure no more. You can just rebound and play defense.
I would certainly say there were question marks going into this season. We wondered how well they would all play defense. Obviously, having Anthony Davis anchor your defense is a big deal, and LeBron has played a different kind and level of defense than he has played in the past. We didn't know what we were going to get out of Dwight Howard. There was no reason to expect what we have gotten. It has been such a great surprise. There were some other questions around the roster. I will also say that the Lakers have a softer first half of the season schedule-wise than second half, but as I said at the top of the show, you got to play the games on your schedule.
All you can do.
And if you don't win these, then you're really in right. trouble later in the season. I am super impressed. There were legit questions going in. They weren't not legit because they've done well. It just means that they've answered the questions in a super legit way. I love what I'm seeing. I have to wait and see if everyone escapes injury-free to say if they're going to continue doing this. But they've proven a lot of people, and they've answered a lot of these questions so far. Here's what The Jump recommends for today. Tim McMahon, really good piece on .com or the ESPN app about the relationship between Rick Carlisle, famously control, we'll say control freak, we'll say he likes to have control, and Luka Doncic. Learning to trust Luka's growth, also drawing parallels between Luka, Larry Bird, and Jason Kidd. Who are you reminded of by Luka Doncic? We'll talk about that next. Tonight's NBA Wednesday doubleheader starts at 7:30 Eastern. Hey, that's Luka Doncic and the Mavs hosting the Warriors. Draymond saying something very loudly in that promo. Then the Celtics continuing their West Coast road trip against the Clippers. Our coverage begins with Stephen A's pregame sports center, 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app.
Paul is always a player that I wanted to play with.
This was destined. We were supposed to play together.
Welcome back to The Jump. Well, so far we've gotten 3 games out of Paul George, 9 games out of Kawhi and then Fingers. I'm still waiting for our first Clipper game with both of them on the court together. Possible it could come tonight. We are still waiting for an update from Kawhi and whether he will be back after that knee injury. He was doing some shooting this morning at shoot around, but no sense about whether he's actually going to play. When we do finally see them, Mac, what do you think it's going to be like to have them together? If it's tonight, could be tonight, could be tonight.
Well, if you heard me when I first came on this show this year,
I was going to say,
I said that the Clippers were going to win a championship. Why? Because of these two guys right here, right? You have two of the best that do what they do from an offensive side and defensively. I mean, these guys actually love to play defense and take pride in shutting down the opposing team's best offensive player. So now, with Kawhi's offense catching up to his defense, and Paul George, I mean, just coming off an explosive season last year, along with what they already have with the Clippers, I mean, I expect them to dominate. And I said, defensively is where they're going to hang their hat on when they don't have great offensive nights. Mm-hmm. They are a team that can slow you down defensively. And I say they're going to hold some opposing teams to 80 to 85 points. That's how great defensively they will be.
I also picked the Clippers to win the championship, so, you know, I obviously think they're going to be awesome.
Right?
I think they have a chance to be the best defensive team in the league when they have Beverly, PG, Kawhi all out there switching, getting in passing lanes and doing all that. Offensively, it may not look pretty. Like, Kawhi's it's not pretty to watch Kawhi, but he's brutally efficient. PG's, like T-Mac just said, is coming off an MVP-level season. you can't have enough big wings who shoot threes, defend well, and can create off the dribble, and they have two of the three best in the whole league, two of the four best in the whole league, so.
Well, the fit to me just is so good. The fit is good from an X and O basketball perspective, but it's also just good in terms of sort of the way these guys both approach basketball, mentally, the ego factor sort of with the two of them. I don't see being in conflict the way we've seen sometimes when guys get together as free agents or through trade. And the luxury you have is, yes, when they are on the court together, and again, cross fingers for tonight, I just think it's going to be exceptional, the room they're going to give each other to work. But if they're not, as we've seen, when you don't have one, you have the other one. And the amount of points just Paul George has scored alone in the last week is insane, much less defensively, which we're still seeing him get back in the groove of. I've said it a few times so far this season. The Clippers have put up some really good numbers and some really good games, and I still think we're underestimating them.
I do think
because
it is.
Because they're going to be so good with those guys.
And it's going to be interesting, though, to see PG, Kawhi, and then the Lou Trez thing, which is like an offense unto itself. How does that all blend when all four of them are on the floor? That's going to be interesting.
The great thing about these two players is they don't need the ball. They don't have to dominate the ball. And they both can be great pick and roll players. I think with, you know, PG, when he's on the ball and you have Kawhi spotted up, I mean, you're creating so many mismatches out on the basketball court when you have these two guys. And then you got Lou Will coming off the bench, who's a great one-on-one player. I can't wait till they fully are healthy to witness, you know, historic numbers that we're going to see from a defensive perspective.
Our news editor, Jeremy, is trying to talk to me through this little thing in my ear. I believe he just said
the building just shook.
The building did just shake. Do you think we're having an earthquake?
I think that was just thunder. Don't tell me nothing about earthquake because I'm off this set.
Well, here we go. So that earthquake was possibly a Woj bomb because what he was trying to tell me in my ear was that Adrian Wojnarowski reported Kawhi is expected to play tonight.
That's what I'm
saying. So see?
About. That's what it
Look,
was.
Look, boom, boom, boom. Om Young Masuk also reporting that. And Om had a great story on the app today about these two guys playing together and just sort of how far back their bond goes. So the idea that we are going to get to see that tonight is so cool. And it will be interesting against the Celtics team that is top six defensively.
All right, now we got a game.
It's going to be good stuff. I want to move on to the early ESPN game as well, though, because Warriors at Mavs is going to be interesting. Yesterday, we discussed Luka Doncic as an MVP candidate. Tim McMahon had a piece today. We advertised it before the break about Rick Carlisle making some comparisons between Luka and players like Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Jason Kidd, no biggie there. Zach, who does Luka remind you of?
So I'm going to use the Rockets rule of you can't compare like to like. That's their draft rule. You got to do cross comparisons. His passes to the opposite corner and being big enough to see over the defense are like LeBron-y. I think that's a LeBron kind of thing.
But not Bronny.
Yeah. He's got that mid-range. He doesn't shoot a lot of mid-rangers anymore, but that like pivoty fadeaway kind of game. It's vaguely like Brandon Roy-ish, it reminds me of, a little Chris Mullin-ish. And I don't think they are alike stylistically, but anytime you're talking point forward to get triple doubles, you got to mention Grant Hill. Grant Hill doesn't come up in these discussions. Prime Grant Hill was an absolute monster who would put up similar stat lines in a different way.
Grant Hill? Really?
Not stylistically, just the results. Grant Hill was a different kind of athlete.
Okay, but the question is, who does he remind you of?
There's really no one that reminds me of Luka, really.
Really?
He has a little bit of, the guys he named, really.
Right.
There's not one player that has his skill set that I've played against and that I'm seeing now. I mean, he's very unique. What I will say is, he's kind of similar offensively in terms of not being athletic and being able to get to his spots on the floor and create shots. It's like CJ McCollum. CJ is not the quickest. He's not the fastest. But he knows how to use his body, his footwork to create space to get off shots. Luka is the same way. But he really doesn't remind me of anybody.
Well, we're seeing him hugging LeBron there. That was a great sort of matchup head-to-head when they went at each other. Luka says that LeBron's the guy that, I mean, like so many people of his generation, he was trying to emulate LeBron James. Kendrick Perkins came out that day and said Luka reminds him of LeBron without the athleticism, which is funny. it's an important part of LeBron's game. I'm just putting that out there.
Right. And if we're going to compare him to somebody, he does have LeBron. But LeBron's athleticism is off the chart. So
it's just the size and the vision and the kind of passes he throws, though, is LeBron-esque.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Rick Carlisle learning to
let go a little bit. It's hard to compare anybody to LeBron if they don't have the athleticism.
I agree.
Speaking of LeBron James, he now has a triple-double against all 30 NBA teams. No one else has ever done it. How important is that? Our friend Clinton Yates is coming into the studio next. We will discuss it with him. Stay tuned. Nobody gonna do it like me. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm still alongside Zach Lowe, Hall of Famer Tracy McGrady, but look who's joined us. Columnist for The Undefeated, my fellow DMVer, Mr. Clinton Yates. We want to talk to you about all kinds of stuff, including some uniforms that, we're going to show you. But let's start with the start of the first milestone for LeBron James. Last night, LeBron went for 25 points, 11 boards, 10 assists. This was important because it now gives him his first triple-double against the Thunder, and that makes him the first player in NBA history to record a triple-double against all 30 teams. Clinton, significant, non-significant, what do you think?
I think this is a big deal, and I went into this game not knowing this was on the table. As somebody who follows the game plenty, hadn't thought of it, and I'm not one of these people who sort of downgrades the triple-double as a statistical anomaly. I understand why people do, but triple-doubles are plenty impressive to me as they need be. And throughout the course of that game, I'm thinking to myself, well, if he pulls this off and he's the first person, what an indicative thing of his career versus so many other people. When I think of different eras, I think of what people did that nobody else did. Jordan, rings, never lost the finals. You think about, Curry, first unanimous and only unanimous MVP. Think about this kind of stuff for LeBron. I'm like, this makes a little sense. This guy dominated a league in many different facets from many different places. And he's done it against everybody. It's very appropriate for me in terms of what LeBron's legacy is really about.
And the completeness of his game. You're not buying it?
No, I'm buying it. I mean, I think this guy could have, if he wanted to, averaged a triple-double for his career.
Sure.
I mean, he's just that talented.
Wow.
Right? Oh, absolutely.
For his career, that would be
good. Out of all people, no.
No, I like it. I like it. I like it. I think that's a cool way to put it.
For him, absolutely. So I'm not, surprised by this. I'm surprised that Russ has never done this.
Well, because the one team Russ has never OKC, had a triple-double against is OKC. So he's only played them once.
That's why I think this is cool for LeBron, because part of LeBron's story is that he's not a one-team guy. He took ownership of his career. He always took short-term contracts to leverage the fear of him leaving. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I'm going to go play where I want to play. When I want to have my quote-unquote college experience, I'm going to Miami, like the growing up experience. When I want to come back to Cleveland, I'm coming back. When I want to go to L.A. for whatever reason, I'm going to L.A. And so it's fitting that he had, it's L.A. It's a great place. And so I think it is fitting in a lot of different ways that he's the first to do this.
I do like it shows the completeness of his game, the fact that he does think passing is such an important part for a guy who could score the basketball whenever he wanted to, if he had wanted to. It's interesting. You didn't know that this was on the table.
No.
He didn't know it was on the table. He didn't even know it was on the table after he did it. He got back into the locker room, still didn't know, and Frank Vogel comes in and says, congratulations. And LeBron said after the game, he thought that Frank was being sarcastic because he had turned the ball over 7 times and that he was giving him a hard time about it. And that, in fact, when Jason Kidd came over to talk to him, the first thing Jason wanted to talk about was, you turned the ball over 7 times. And then he's like, yeah, congratulations on the whole big triple-double.
Jason Kidd, another one of the guys on that list. I think he's third.
Absolutely. So it's not something that anybody thought, oh, man, this milestone we got to get. But I do think you're right. It says a lot about his career.
It's fascinating.
And look, the reason why the triple-double stat is interesting to me is that you need to do a lot of things in a lot of different ways. And that is an important part of being a basketball player. It's why it drives me crazy when we talk about people as two-way players, because you should be a two-way player because there's two sides of a basketball court. So you should be able to do all of those different things. Thanks. I want to move on from the amazing to the interesting.
Yes, very interesting.
Okay.
I'm big on uniforms.
A buzz earlier this week when the Mavs released photos of their City Edition unis. You can scroll yourself to see the reactions. We've also had other teams rolling out theirs.
Stop.
And we'll start to see on the coming weeks. Not shown in there were the Bulls, which are also that very interesting blue color. I read this morning it's supposed to be a reflection of the Lakers. And then the Cream City jerseys
We'll get to all that.
So, Clinton, please, you are a fashion guru. Please rank your top 5.
Okay, look. Number 5. Let's get to it. It's the Houston Rockets. I call Houston the most American city in America for a lot of different reasons. But I like the way that they've melded their look, which has been very simple for a long time. And they made something kind of tight with it. You know what I'm saying?
I like it.
H-Town represents everything that Houston is, from everything else to sports as well. All right, number four. We got the Milwaukee Bucks. This was a big talk during the break because people can't seem to handle the words Cream City on the same jersey. But the problem here, the reason why this isn't higher, not enough production value for me, guys. I need more outline. I need more detail on that jersey.
Do you know why Milwaukee is Cream City called that?
It's because of the bricks or something.
Yes,
you know what
that's,
I mean?
That's when not something. Cream. That's what it is.
You don't need anything else on your jersey.
So that's it.
I just think the lettering needs to be more detailed to make it more fun. All right, so number three. Now, a lot of you all who understand zero about street art and how far it has come in this world are going to mock this because the lettering itself could be qualified as whack. But let me tell you this. The fact that this is even, listen to me, the fact that this is even on a jersey in the year of our Lord 2019 is where we've come in terms of the artists involved and the people that get to do things with this league. Good on the Mavs for getting people involved from the community to actually make something that represents a lot of people who watch this game. I happen to be one of them. I'm a big street art enthusiast and have been for a while, so props to that jersey. Number two, the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, here's the thing about the Lakers. They got a classic look, Rachel. It's hard to really deviate on that without going all the way to the far side and not messing it up. I think they did a pretty good job there.
See, this is close enough to their real look that when I first saw this, I thought it was a knockoff.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree.
That's why it's kind of good. Three stars on the side. Number one, obviously,
gorgeous.
The Denver Nuggets.
I'm with you on this one.
This is pure class. The shorts are tremendous. The jersey is tremendous. It's busy, but it's also active, which is what you want to try to do. And the Nuggets do jerseys well. They've been had great unis for the last 5 or 6 years, so the Nuggets are number one on this list.
Yeah.
That's it.
Cream City. And Sacktown.
Come on.
What?
What do you think, Zach? Because you're also a jersey. I'm just going to keep I am with you.
Yeah.
I can't believe there are people who don't like the Mavs jerseys.
It's not about the
styling. Mavs jerseys are awesome.
It's about the fact that they exist at all. As
they're
somebody
awesome.
That grew up, people look at graffiti and street art as something to be banished to the hinterlands.
They're awesome.
Now it's a part of our everyday discussion as a method of art. I
believe, not in this graphic, but I think the Heat have one coming. That might trump all.
Breaking news, another Woj
might have that might trump all.
Like Bugs Bunny should be in that uniform. I
would throw in the Clippers City Edition.
Those are dope.
Also have the
Brooklyn
lettering.
Ones are dope too. That have a sort of a graffiti feel, sort of a street art feel. I mess with those. I just like the fact that we're actually connecting with the communities that create art and do things for.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So the Clippers used a local artist who has a strong voice and sort of I think a very cool, strong aesthetic. I do like that a lot. Let's talk about the team that I was going to say we grew up watching, but I'm just going to call them your Washington Wizards. When we grew up, they were the Bullets. Oh, look, all I would say about this team, they had a different name when I grew up. They played in a different state than they do now.
They did.
Like, it's kind of hard sometimes to make the connection. So your Washington Wizards, 3-8, worst record. I've skipped ahead here with my worst in the East. Second worst overall. Are they heading in the right direction despite all of this?
So let's say that they're sort of off the wrong track, but not necessarily in the right direction. I mean, look, I don't want to throw shade at anybody already there, but getting rid of Ernie was a big step. And more importantly, though,
you don't want to throw shade, but getting rid of Ernie Grunfeld
was
a
big step because it involved them actually being real about what it's going to take to run an NBA franchise. I think Ted has been focused on things, you know, between his, you know, gambling efforts and everything that's been happening with Monumental Sports and the hockey team. I think he thought that it was going to be a little bit easier to run an NBA franchise than it was. And he's got problems with injuries with John Wall. He's got all sorts of issues with popularity. I think if he just finally gets out of the way a little bit and lets some basketball people run a basketball team, there's enough good minds in America, it can happen. But he's got to take a huge step back.
Talking about having pressure on your franchise, I mean, what, you got the Washington Capitals that won?
Yep.
Right?
Mystics.
The Mystics just won.
Yep.
And the Nationals.
Yep.
Yep.
They're trending in the right direction. I mean,
The Wizards.
Yeah. They head into lottery. So,
they need to go in the direction of a high draft pick.
Yeah, right.
Whatever direction that
right
is,
direction.
That's
keep
the direction.
Going that way.
My man has a tweet that I want to show you guys. My man Twan. It embodies basically every single thing about the Wizards. When you watch this team, it basically just says, look at this. It really sucks to watch basketball knowing that your team gave away Kelly Oubre for nothing. This is basically where we are watching Wizards games. You're thinking, oh, my God, we had good players. Oh, they're gone. Oh, well.
You could stick so many people's names in there, though.
Oh, yeah, that's why it's appropriate. It's like the Wizards complaint generator. Twan, shouts for that.
There you go. I am curious to see if the front office change is going to yield something. You want to give everyone runway to show what they can do. Tommy Shepard had been involved in that organization for a very, very long time.
I'm not really sure what
track. You can't say for sure it is going to be a huge direction change, but he came in saying I have a lot of different ideas than my predecessor, even though I was the assistant to him. And they have kind of done this front office by committee where they have farmed out different aspects of player management to different people. And we'll have to see whether it works. They obviously caught a bad break with John Wall and his multiple injuries. They caught a good break with Bradley Beal wanting to stay there. Bradley Beal now cannot be traded until next summer. So this is the team you have right now, and we will see how they do. Clinton, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to
be here.
Absolutely. I need a little Maryland, Virginia, D.C. support.
You know what I'm saying?
We will take a quick break, but you stay with us because up next, the Rockets are rolling. But I will ask the guys how confident they are that Houston is going to extend its winning streak to 9 tonight. Check out our Friday doubleheader, ESPN and the ESPN app. Spurs Sixers, 8 o'clock Eastern, then Rockets Clippers. Our coverage beginning with NBA Countdown. You want to check that out at 7 Eastern. All right, it's crunch time here on The Jump. Draymond Green getting some burn as the point guard for the Warriors. Last night he had 11 assists, just one turnover against the Grizz. Mac, do you like this?
I think Draymond running point? I mean, yeah, Draymond is a point guard. Even when he had Klay and Steph and those guys, he's the one that initiated the offense. So maybe they figured something out. Let's see.
That jumbo lineup is playing some defense, too. Defense
is the... Because when he's at center, it's the death lineup. Well, it used to be the death lineup. They used to be the super death lineup. Now it's just the G League lineup.
This lineup. Right.
It's the same death lineup.
This is its own death lineup. Death in a different way. I like this. This was fun to watch, and it's fun to see him figuring out other things to do. 9 years ago today, Blake Griffin made Timothy Mozgov a household name.
Ooh.
Tracy, as someone who has done this to other human beings, what do you remember about this highlight?
I just want y'all to look at the hand placement. I mean, the left hand.
What is going on today?
The left hand is what makes this dunk because he has big hands and it just stands out to me.
First of all, I've also done that to people on Nerf hoops, okay? So give me a little bit of credit. Second of all, that's a top five all-time league
not
pass
only
moment.
Did he
top
pump,
five all-time league pass moment.
Not only did he palm the basketball, he also palmed his head. He palmed two things.
At once. There you go. I went to work at a professional environment, and I woke up in a junior high school today. Let's talk about the Pistons. They're at the Bulls tonight. That means Derrick Rose is coming home. Of course, Rose won the MVP with the Bulls back in 2011, youngest MVP ever. Mm. Sadly, his time in Chicago derailed by injuries. In an interview with NBC Sports Chicago, D. Rose looked back on his time with the Bulls. This quote stood out to us, quote, "If load management would have been around, who knows? I probably would still be a Chicago Bull." Do you think that's true, Matt?
Yeah, possibly. D. Rose had to do a lot in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And he played a lot of minutes and, you know, similar to me in Orlando for those 4 years, not having Grant Hill, having so much on your shoulders every night to carry a franchise. And then obviously, you know, it's going to take a toll on you. Same with D. Rose. I mean, he had to do so much in Chicago and, just a devastating injury to his career. What, you know, we could have witnessed as one of the greatest point guards to ever play this game. I mean, he was so electric and just dynamic at what he did. And, you know, yeah, do we look back and hope that some of those nights we took some time off? Absolutely. But it was our job to go out and carry our franchise. That's what we got paid for.
The Spurs were already dabbling in load management back then. We just didn't call it load management.
I believe at that point it was Tim Duncan DMP old.
I don't know what year the DNP old was, but that's an all-timer.
Yeah.
Yeah, the D-Rose injury, they were up 11 or 12 at the time it happened, the first ACL. It's an all-time what-if kind of moment.
Right, but was that overuse? That's where I wasn't sure kind of where this came in, is that how much of it was that he had sort of felt that he had been... Load management is about overuse, right? Not overusing
it,
not
putting
stress
on the knee,
or was it just like a freak bad thing? Even when you
look back on San Antonio guys, I mean, yes, Tim Duncan can sit out, but you still got two... Future Hall of Famers, right?
So, you did not have that luxury.
D. Rose didn't have that as well.
We will wonder what might have been. All right, our league pass game of the night, Rockets at Nuggets. Rockets on a streak, guys. 8-game winning streak headed into Denver. Zach, how confident are you? What is the Zach Lowe confidence meter on a 9th straight?
In Denver is always tough, so I'll say 60% only because I believe the Rockets are 10-1 in their last 11 against Denver. And this was the matchup, one of them, that the Nuggets ducked last year with their shameful tanking standing manipulation scheme.
Yeah, but look what happened to them.
They got to the second round and lost. Whoop-de-doo.
Right, but weren't they manipulating to meet Portland? Wasn't that the point?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Karma. The basketball gods notice these things. And they're terrified of Harden versus Jokic in the pick and roll or one-on-one. So I'm interested to see how they navigate that.
I believe one Mr. Rasheed Wallace addressed that comment. Do you think Denver's a tough place to play?
No, I don't. No, it's not.
Their home record every year is amazing. The altitude, back-to-back in Denver, this isn't a back-to-back. It's supposed to be like the worst.
I took it as she posed it as, what, because of the altitude? I mean, no. That's how I took it, the question. No, I mean, yeah, you feel it the first 5 minutes, but after that, you know, you're fine. The Rockets own Denver. They don't have enough scoring power to, you know, challenge this team. James Harden is averaging 31 against them, 10 assists, and he's averaging 39 now. I don't expect anything to change. You put Jokic in pick and roll, what is he going to do with this guy? What is he going to do against Westbrook coming downhill at him? There's nothing they could do. Instead of trying to outscore them, do a better job of, you know, trying to
slow
them down a little bit.
I think Harden should go for 15 assists tonight. I think that should be his goal. Try to get 50, like 22 and 15 is the stat.
If I'm Denver, I'm switching it up from the previous times that we faced. I'm going to double James the whole game and see what we can do.
Yeah, assists. Get James needs to get his assists up.
At the buzzer tonight, marking the first time Kawhi Leonard and Paul George will both play for the Clippers. League sources telling our Adrian Wojnarowski and Om Yong-Masuk that Kawhi will return. He's missed three straight with that knee bruise. This game is on ESPN tonight. I am very excited for this now, yes. Zach. What do you expect from Kawhi and PG pairing?
I think they're going to look great together. And, you know, how they share the offense and how they share it with Lou and Trez is going to be, I think, the most interesting thing. But defensively, there's just no question they're going to be a ridiculous team.
They are going to be ridiculous. I see them both having 25-plus tonight. Ooh. And Lou Williams coming off the bench and giving them 20. My prediction.
You were just talking about if you don't have another guy like that. If you do, though, it makes everything easier,
everything
right?
Everything easier.
There you go. Thank you for joining us today. Thanks to Clinton Yates, who was here. Great basketball tonight on ESPN. The early game, too. Luka Doncic. Check it out.